Martyr by Alan Norse. Rejuvenation for the millions, or rejuvenation for the 500 lucky ones, the select ones, that can be treated each year? Tough, independent Senator Dan Fowler fights a one-man battle against the clique that seeks perpetual power and perpetual youth in this hard-hitting novel by Alan E. Norse. Why did it have to be his personal fight? The others would fumble it. They'd foul it up. Fowler protested? But why was he in the fight, and what was to happen to Senator Fowler's fight against this fantastic conspiracy? Who would win? I can break him, split his criterion committee wide open now while there's still a chance, and open rejuvenation up to everybody. 4 1/2 hours after the Martian sunset, the last light in the headquarters building finally blinked out. Carl Golden stamped his feet nervously against the cold, cupping his cigarette in his hand to suck up the tiny spark of warmth. The night air bit his nostrils and made the smoke tasteless in the darkness. Atmosphere screens kept the oxygen in all right, but they never kept the biting cold out. As the light disappeared, he dropped the cigarette, stamping it sharply into the darkness. Boredom vanished, and warm blood prickled through his shivering legs. He slid back tight against the coarse black building front, peering across the road in the gloom. It was the girl. He had thought so, but hadn't been sure. She swung the heavy stone door shut after her, glanced both left and right, and started down the frosty road toward the lights of the colony. Carl Golden waited until she was gone. He glanced at his wrist chrono and waited 10 minutes more. He didn't realize that he was trembling until he ducked swiftly across the road. Through the window of the low, one-story building, he could see the lobby call board, with the light-colored studs all dark. He smiled in unpleasant satisfaction. No one was left in the building. It was routine, just like everything else in this godforsaken hole. Utter abysmal, trance-like routine. The girl was a little later than usual, probably because of the ship coming in tomorrow. Reports get ready, supply requisitions, personnel recommendations. And the final reports on Armstrong's death, mustn't forget that. The real story, the absolute factual truth without any nonsense. The reports that would go ultimately to Reinhardt and only Reinhardt, as all the other important reports from the Mars colony had been doing for so many years. Carl skirted the long, low building, falling back into the black shadows of the side wall. Halfway around, he came to the supply chute, covered with a heavy, molded stone cover. Now? It had taken 4 months here to know that he would have to do it this way. 4 months of ridiculous masquerade, made idiotic by the incredible fact that everyone took him for exactly what he pretended to be and never challenged him. Not even Terry Fisher, who, drunk or sober, always challenged everything and everybody. But the 4 months had told on his nerves, in his reactions, in the hollows under his quick brown eyes. There was always the specter of a slip-up, an aroused suspicion, and until he had the reports before his eyes, he couldn't fall back on Dan Fowler's name to save him. He had shook Dan's hand the night he had left, and Dan had said, "Remember, son, I don't know you. I hate to do it this way, but we can't risk it now." And they couldn't, of course, not until they knew for certain who had murdered Kenneth Armstrong. Already they knew why. The utter stillness of the place reassured him. He hoisted up the chute cover, threw it high, and shinned his long body into the chute. It was a steep slide, and he held on for an instant, then let go. Blackness gulped him down as the cover snapped close behind him. He struck hard and rolled. The chute opened into the commissary in the third deep level of the building, and the place was black as the inside of a pocket. He tested unbroken legs with a sigh of relief and limped across to where the door should be. In the corridor there was some light, dim phosphorescence from the Martian night rock lining the walls and tiling the floor. He walked swiftly, cursing the clack-clack his heels made on the ringing stone. When he reached the end of the corridor, he tried the heavy door. It gave, complaining. Good, good. It had been quick, imperfect job of jimmying the lock, so obviously poor that it had worried him a lot. But why should they test it? There was still another door. He stepped into the blackness again and started across the room as the door swung shut behind him. A shoe scraped. The faintest rustle of sound. Carl froze. His own trouser leg. A trick of acoustics? He didn't move a muscle. Then, "Carl!" His pocket light flickered around the room. A small secretary's anteroom. It stopped on a